Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicated to the memory and the honor of Joseph Arion. Inner Sight Live. You know, one of the worst things is when you're ill and you wind up in the hospital, and you know, it's really ironic because a lot of people wind up in the hospital from listening to the doctors. You know, they take all that medicine, all that precaution, and all that, but no preventative, and they wind up in the hospital anyway with the illness. So that's definitely not a plus. But if you're ill and you're disabled, it's even worse. It's 1,000 times worse. You know, if let's say you have pneumonia, for instance. You know, when you go to the hospital for help, so they admit you. You're in the bed. You gotta go to the bathroom. You know, you struggle. Maybe you have trouble. You know, because you're not feeling. You're feeling horrible. But you can probably manage to get into the bathroom and go to the bathroom. But not if you're disabled and you can't walk, and there's nobody there to help you get into the bathroom. And then they start with other means for you to go, and a lot of people can't use the bedpan. It's very difficult for them. My friend Brian was like that, and it caused a severe constipation. So the difference is that everything that the able-bodied person has, we the disabled do not have, all right? If you're deaf or blind and they don't communicate with you right, you know, you're visually impaired, you can't read anything, you have your chart there when you're visually impaired, but, you know, you can't read it. It's not in Braille. It's not in raised print. I mean, you might be able to fight for it and get it in raised print. I doubt if you'd get Braille. But you shouldn't have to fight for it. Remember, you're there to get well. If you're in a hospital to get well, and now you got to fight and argue and advocate and threaten with lawyers and newspapers and everything else, you know, the media, that does not promote good health. It makes it worse. And it shouldn't be. We have so many examples. One of our friends who went to a hospital, she has Lou Gehrig's, and she has trouble feeding herself. So she had, you know, they refused to help her many a times. She had to argue with them and fight with them and so on. I mean, is that the way you're going to help a person get better? Now, I'm not saying that the disabled person is always perfect and right. No.
Hi.
What I'm saying is that everything that the other person has, the disabled person should have.
Exactly.
When you're in the hospital, and you lose your aid.
That's
beyond
right.
The emergency room.
That's
you can't
right.
have your aid.
Now
well,
you
that
know what
causes...
they do to me now.
What?
You know what they do to me now? When the aid hits the emergency room, they tell her to go home. They don't pay her. Yep.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm talking about. You know, the money is there for the aid. Now, remember, this person is ill, and they're also disabled. See? That's a double blow against the mind and the body. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now you have to advocate, argue, and fight with these people, you know, if you're able to, of course.
That's right.
To try to get the simplest thing that should be there, and it's not. All right? And when we come back, I want to tell you why it's not there. On Inner Sight Live around the world. Brought to you by the Big East, Akita Rescue, the great, great Akita, and this being National Guide Dog Month, got a couple of days left. Sign the petition so we can do something about getting people rights. I want to thank my friend Bob. I enlightened him today. He was totally unaware that people have no rights in connection with service dog training. He's a big dog lover, retired accountant. And he was constantly wishing that he had the money to help us.
Did he call the state for you and stuff?
What? I can't hear you.
Sorry. I was choking on my own saliva, sorry. Did he call for you to get help?
Hello?
Hi, did you hear
Inner
me?
Inner Sight.
Hi.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Your friend. Did he call for you to get help with the guide dog? Not the
did
guide
who
dog,
called
the
for
light.
You to get help? What you...
Well, then maybe I didn't hear you right. Did you say that
no.
A friend called for the lights for you?
No. I'm talking about someone that I was talking to today about that we disabled have no rights in connection with the service dog school, and I was explaining the whole thing. They raise all that money, and there's no law, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he was quite shocked about it. You know,
really?
He didn't know it.
Wow.
Anyway, so Big East Akita Rescue, 609-388-7004. Adopt an Akita. Joanne Diamond, the Akita lady. We thank her for all her help. Can you please turn that off, whatever that is?
I just did.
Yes. Let's see. Oh, Kennedy Realty. Islip, New York. Buy a house, sell a house. Get some good info. Call Mr. Kennedy at 631-888-1186. Anthony Kennedy Realty.
Oh, for God's sake.
All right.
Sorry.
And a good friend to Inner Sight. Yeah, don't forget about all the beautiful children of the world. Watch out for them. Take care of them. Corey, Avante, Ollie Campbell, Baby Royalty, Little Tommy, to mention a few of them who have passed away. And go an extra mile for a child.
Yeah, that's our little clause.
That's Inner Sight reminding you out there in the world. All right, let's see. Some of our friends, Good Mojo Princes, Ice Lip Cleaners, Baccaro's Italian Tavern, Truro Law Center, Suffolk Bus Corp.
Yeah.
And many, many more. The Sunset Restaurant, people who have contributed in the past, and I'm sure we'll do so again. I want to thank my buddy Tony for his $100 donation. I want to thank Kennedy for pledging $100. We should get that pretty soon. All right. Inner Sight. around the world. Inner Sight means freedom. Advocates for the disabled. Our Inner Sight number is 631-224-3090. That's the Inner Sight number.
This is great.
And talking tonight about how the agencies and the government should do a lot more when disabled people get ill, because it's a double, it's a thousand times harder when you're disabled to deal with a system when you're ill. It's not there for you. And one of the biggest reasons it's not there is because the government has not put it there. And the agencies aren't doing anything about it.
Yep.
Now, there's all kinds of money for programs for people who are caught up in nursing homes.
That's right.
But they won't help a person save their home.
No.
They won't help a person declare hardship and say, I can only pay you $20 a month.
Nope.
The independent living centers and all the other, they won't help you do that.
No.
Go ahead, try it. Call them.
Nope. They won't.
See if they'll help you.
Ha.
You know? We, who don't have the money, do more about it than the people who do have the money.
Which is sad. It really is.
Well, it should be against the law.
It should be. I agree.
There should be a law.
Mm-hmm.
Especially since the government has not made everything accessible. You know?
That's true.
Especially because of that, there should be a law.
Yeah.
I mean, a person who's blind, for instance,
yeah,
in a nursing home. Let's say they have a house,
mm-hmm,
you know, that they inherited from their father or whatever, and the nursing home wants to take that house to pay for the what they call care.
Care, right?
You know? Now they're going to give the individual the individual with a document, a paper. If that person is blind,
they can't see.
They can't read that.
Nope.
And now you got to fight to get it in a format so you could read it.
That's right. And if you add dementia on top of that, if somebody is forgetful, they might sign that paper.
Well, that's even worse.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then they'll say, well, somebody will read it to you. Yeah.
Sure.
You don't know what they're reading, if it's right or if they left anything out.
That's correct.
Or if they read the wrong date, and there goes your house, and there goes, and now you're being taken to court. You know, and you don't even know it.
No.
You don't even know it.
It's terrible. No,
because
matter what
it's
you
not
do
there for you. They should
That's
not
correct
be allowed to serve someone who's blind with a document that they can't read.
How about this? They used
That's
to go, not only blind, people who cannot only with blindness, people who can't understand it, period. My mom, when she was in the nursing home, they used to do that to me all the time, and I don't doubt that they did it to my aunt right now. She's in the hospital, and I don't doubt that they came to her today. Thank God she has somewhat wits about her a little bit. She called me panicking in a constant panic all day today, at least 10, 20 times today, between 10 and 20 at least. She called me, and she called me like a little bit before the show. So what are we doing tomorrow? I'm like, you're going home, thank God. I fought for you all day. And then she said it again. What are we doing tomorrow? And they made her so confused that she had to say that. You know? Why are you doing this?
It's all right that she's confused.
That's right. But they made it worse, Frank. They didn't have to do any of that. They made it 1,000 times worse. And that wasn't cool for, in my eyes.
They may have caused it with the side effects of some of the junk
medicine.
They're giving her.
Oh, my God. I tell you, I need a copy of that. I'm going to call the doctor, and we're going to go over that with a fine-tooth comb because I think she's being over-medicated for the blood pressure pills. She got into that hospital. Her blood pressure was so low that they put her in ICU. Yeah.
Blood sugar can cause a lot of problems.
Blood pressure.
The memory
blood pressure
and all
was
that.
Very low. Yeah, and her blood sugar, too. I mean, come on. I mean, it's terrible.
So, it's not the same when you're disabled and you go into a hospital and you're ill and you need help. It's by no means the same, you know, because you don't have the first thing that comes to mind, you don't have your aid.
That's right.
To help you. So you got to struggle with that. Now, if these agencies really gave a damn about us, you know, and if the government gave a damn about us, they would insist that person has the aid going into a hospital or a nursing home.
I agree. Yeah.
See? But they don't want
you. No, they don't. You know what they want? People are really don't believe this. I don't know why people. What is it going to take for people to believe that what they do is this? All right, I believe that the hospital gets some of a kickback from how many people they get to go into a nursing home because they're affiliated with each other. Now, this is ridiculous. Why are you, you know, doing this to innocent people? They work so hard. They pay their taxes. They do absolutely everything to stay out and be independent as much as they can. Okay, why are you incarcerating them? That don't make sense to me. That should be a crime there. You know? Hello, Frank? Oh, boy, I think I disconnected you. All right. Hang on. By myself. Oh, that's weird. Hold on. Yeah, it looks like we're having
another
sort of oh, there we
part
go.
Of the problem.
Weird. Yeah.
All right, in a sight, anybody out there who has any... Anybody out there who has any experience with being disabled and having gone into a hospital or a nursing home, you know, or even in your own home, as to things not being accessible, or there for you, if you want to call in, you can remain anonymous.
Yeah, we have somebody. We have Anthony. He wants to talk.
213-816-1650 is the number here. And we'd like to hear your comments or your experience. All right, Anthony from Brooklyn, one of our regulars.
Yep. And here he comes. Okay.
Hi, Frank. Hi, Suzanne. How are you?
Okay, we're doing well. How are
good,
you?
Good, good.
Okay, so about this nursing home and home care thing, basically they do this because, you know, they want people to be used as guinea pigs.
Yeah,
and
they
do. That's all it's really about. I was in a hospital at one point, and I was basically there because the home health aide called 911 on me because he was being physically abusive to me, and he said that he wanted to go back to his country and he couldn't handle, you know, being here and that life was too hard. And because of that, you know, the agency made an excuse to the hospital that they were finding an aide, and then they transferred me out of the agency, and I refused to take an aide from that agency anymore anyway, but they weren't going to send me anybody. And then they left me at my door of my house with no aide and no anything. And, you know, I didn't even know that there was, you know, not going to be an aide there. And I had to call my mom to come take care of me. But the issue is, you know, what happens for people that, you know, don't medically qualify to be, you know, in a hospital. They don't keep you there just because your agency doesn't have an aide. You know, unless you have something medically wrong that they can medically justify, you know, with taking care of you with. And I got with another agency that was no better, and a lot of problems with the live-in service. But, you know, another problem with these agencies is that you can't open your mouth about abuse. They don't like it. They, you know, like Louis said, they blacklist you.
Yes,
and,
they do.
You know, they incarcerate you, like you say. Mm-hmm. And, you know, also, you know, when you are going to have home care, you can't have any money. Otherwise, you have to pay for it out of pocket, you know, and they put you on spend down and all that.
Anthony, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you fine.
Yes,
now we can.
I just want to make one quick thought. I had to dial back in, by the way. The guy who said that to you, that life is so hard here, was he disabled?
No.
Well, then he doesn't know what the hell hard is. Go ahead.
That's right.
I guess he was just, you know, an immigrant that couldn't deal with American life and working and all that. I mean, it's no excuse, but the agency knew about it for days because I called and reported it, you know, that I was having problems with him and we weren't getting along and this and that. And then they never, you know, changed the aid, and I even told them that the, you know, guy was hitting me and stuff like that, and the coordinator hung up on me, so I called the police, and
that's
they threw the guy out of my house. But the problem is that, you know, because home health aid is, you know, they try to mentally evaluate you more, and now these home health aides have the right to call 911 on you. They abuse it. And, you know, any little thing, anytime you talk in a high-pitched tone or you argue with them and you say something that are like, I'll call 911, and
go
they
ahead.
Have the police come to your door and take you to the hospital and all that. It doesn't mean anything. You get discharged in 24 hours, but it's the nonsense that you go through. And then they try to say that because of your behavior, you're too aggressive, and, you know, that in combination with your physical disability and things like that makes you too difficult to take care of, and no agency will want you. Because they write all kind of legal things on your case file that get dropped after a certain number of years, and you have to call the state, and they fight for you to get back into these agencies because they don't want to take you because, you know, one or two aides said that you were aggressive just because you told them where to go, basically, and, you know, because you said things to them that we can't say on the air.
This wouldn't happen if the disabled person controlled the funding.
That's right. You know what I'm about to do, and I'm really getting to the point that I don't want to be on disability anymore. You know that?
I don't want to be on disability either, Suzanne.
Yeah.
What choice do you have?
I do have a choice. Now working from home is becoming the thing, and I could sit down on a phone and talk to anybody. Okay, if I could talk, I could work. Can I? You know, that's what I think, at least. If I could talk all day on the damn phone, I could work. I'll pocket that disability and leave it there. And if they want to, you know, eventually, you know, pick it up later on, then yeah.
You used to work and address my issues, and you were a damn good advocate, I've got to say that. You know, it's, I don't know, losing your disability is a scary thing because once you lose it, they'll say, you know, you don't need it and all that.
I got it back once.
Oh, okay. I've never had to go through it. But, I would encourage you to go for whatever you think is best in life, but, I mean, always have a safety net. Just be careful.
And I do. You know what I'm thinking? Once you start with a little bit of income coming in, you got to also start with, you know, I know it's probably the worst move, but I know in my heart I'm getting, you know, run around all the way with the state. I'm not getting what I need. People, you know, it's just getting annoying at this point. I have to.
No, we're getting,
you know,
off
fighting.
The subject here.
No, I'm fighting for everything, Frank. Really, I am. And it's getting to the point that I just can't be fighting for everything every day. It's getting to the point that I'd rather be off the disability. You know, but if they keep your disability, Frank, I really don't want to.
But that's not the subject tonight. The subject is how people who are disabled get ill.
Right.
And we don't have the same accessibility that everybody else has.
Frank, talking about accessibility, in the hospitals, you want to hear something that will make you laugh.
Yes.
They, you know, don't want to help you to change, you know, pull-ups or diapers and all that when you're disabled. And then they don't want you to get up to go to the bathroom because they're too afraid you could fall. But
here's
the catch-22. They couldn't supervise you every time you had to go to the bathroom to make sure that you didn't fall anyway. And then, you know, if you did, then you'd have to call them. But a lot of times there's no railing in the bathroom of the hospital anyway. And then if you get in the shower, there's a step. And some disabled people can't even lift their leg, and they don't even have any kind of stool or, I mean, you know,
no
kind of bath chair
or
any place
that you
can sit. I never took a shower in the hospital. Oh, I have many times.
No, I'd like to, but I couldn't physically do it because there was no accessibility.
I don't blame you, but it can be a very scary thing for a person that's not able to. And if I can't safely do it, I will refuse, and I'll make them help me. I don't care how much they yell and scream and complain.
Oh,
and
they always say, you got to have a doctor approve it. Yeah, well, do it. I want a shower. I've been in here for a week. I want to have some decency.
They make a big deal about having to do everything for the disabled, like even providing a wheelchair. They'll make you walk and walk and walk until, you know, a doctor will give them a prescription and all that, and you see them, and they never wrote the prescription, they never this, they never that. So how else are you going to get around, because it's a big hospital, and you sometimes, need to move from A to B. Nobody's going to sit in one spot, and, you know, you can't always make sure that you have a chair if you get up and go to the bathroom. And then they give you these little chairs that are so uncomfortable, that are like fold-up transport wheelchairs that have no seatbelt on them, and you sit on them and sit on them and sit on them. It's like sitting on a big cement block outside of somewhere, you know, and you have no choice until you get out of the hospital, and that's the way they take care of you, because they just try to get away with things and then say, minimal, and then, we'll let their home health aide deal with everything else when they get home, and they don't get proper care when they get home either. That's the way it is.
I want to know, I'm sorry, when you were working in the home health care industry, you had somebody that you worked with, and you got the skinny on a lot of these things and how people were being, treated. You knew, like, the back end when they used to blacklist people. That really bothers me more than anything.
Yeah, what happens is basically they just, when they get a case that's really bad that involves police reports or a lawsuit, anything legal, or anything with the person that complains too much, they're
worse. I don't like the term blacklist. Bad mouth.
Yeah.
Their
lawyers will put all kind of things on the file, all kind of isms, will make it so that their agency doesn't take the case, because there are some agency owners that are, more understanding, more sympathetic, and, that don't care. It depends. But a lot of them, they just want quiet little old ladies that don't say anything, and, they just
quiet old
lady. and
never was a quiet mid-age woman, so never would be a quiet old lady either.
But, they just want somebody that accepts, you know, whatever they do, and they never have a problem. Basically, Suzanne, like, what they want in home care is like a fairy tale story, you know what I mean, of perfection that doesn't exist. And if, you know, if you are not one of those kind of cases, you know, that are happy all the time, they don't want you.
Forget
they want you dancing and singing or not at all. And, you know, they hire these law firms that are committed to, you know, making these agencies a rose garden. And, you know, if you're not a rose garden kind of person, then they don't want you. And that's the way it is, you know what I mean? And you have to accept their dibble-dabbles and, you know, mistreatment in a lot of cases because they don't want to hear it. They just want to sit there and, you know, do the hours until they go home just like the aides do, and that's the way it goes.
All right, the big thing here is that the agencies and the government are not coming forward to make sure that these hospitals are fully accessible for a person who is disabled, who becomes ill or gets injured and has to be in the hospital. There should be a law. The Americans with Disability Act should cover that.
And they'll tell you, the nurses are there to help regardless, and they'll help.
Right.
You don't really get you don't really get care from those kind of people. You know, they're a bunch of I hate to say it, foreign people themselves that, you know, just try to skip out on whatever kind of work they can. And I don't mean to, you know, badmouth or belittle or put down older people, but I kind of feel like, you know, you're preyed on when you're old by these agencies and these aides and by hospital workers.
Well, you feel like you should have the help that you need.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. But
nothing
but
wrong
they,
with that.
They,
it's normal.
Yeah,
it's normal
it's
to feel
normal,
that
but,
way.
Yeah, but they know that you can't do anything if they don't provide you that kind of care. And because a hospital is only for a temporary stay, you know, they know there's nothing really much you can do about it. It will only, you know, you're not, they're
not,
you're a personal aid.
I remember once a few years ago, I went on a tour with some people from the Independent Living of a hospital.
Oh, my God.
They were showing us the different wings and all that. And we're walking along, and as we're walking, I'm checking the doors, you know, and I don't see one sign that I can read.
No?
You know, there's no Braille.
Nope.
There's
no.
Most of them are
print.
Yeah. There was no raised print, you know.
No.
And they're talking about how accessible this place
is. They are not accessible.
Well,
and
I blew up
bathroom.
At them. People didn't like it, but I didn't give a damn. I said, what do you mean accessible? I can't even read what room this is.
That's right.
The only kind of accommodation they really make is for the hearing impaired. You know, they'll have a sign language interpreter.
No, not really. I was there.
Well, that's one thing. What about everybody else?
I don't know. Well, I don't
or
know
somebody that doesn't
sign
speak
language.
English.
I don't know sign language. So how are you going to help me? Well, give me a notebook and let's write. I can't see in the large print. I have trouble with my hands. Well, how are you going to communicate? Lucky I have hearing aids. They're very lucky.
They would just have to talk loud because they wouldn't give you, you know, a sign language interpreter unless you're deaf. And most people don't know sign language unless they're deaf themselves. So.
Well,
and that's
a
very visual thing, sign language.
It is. That's what I'm saying. I'm deafblind, technically. I'm visually impaired and hearing impaired up to the scale of which I need a very strong hearing aid. I am moderately to severely deaf, okay? I'm not completely deaf, but I'm not nor am I, you know, quote, normal hearing.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to, you know, they give me, you know, what I need, but the problem is they don't give it to me in a manner where I could see when I'm in the hospital. They say to me, okay, you have to do this or you have to do that, and that really aggravates me. I have to sacrifice in certain circumstances. That really bothers me, honestly.
Well, when
I went to the hospital
some years ago, and this driver, this car ran over my toe and fractured it, you know. I went to the emergency room and all that. They wanted me to sign. I said, I'm not signing anything I can't read.
And
I wouldn't sign it.
I don't blame you.
I just refused to sign it. They didn't say anything. My son-in-law brought me over there. So he said that he would sign it. I said, go ahead, you're going to sign it. I didn't sign it.
That's right. What did they want you to sign anyway?
And then sometime later, you know, weeks later, they sent me a bill I couldn't read. I threw that away.
You know what you should have done? You should have sent a check in Braille. I would have.
Oh, no, I wouldn't give them any money. No
yeah,
way.
The only
hospitals owe me money. I don't give hospitals money.
The only
Let them give me my money, and then I'll pay them.
The only thing that they would help you do is pay them over the phone to pay the bill. Other than that, they don't provide anything in alternative formats.
No.
Yeah. All right, Anthony, I want to go on with the rest of the show. Thank you for your comments and all that.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Frank.
Helpful.
Thank you, Suzanne. Take care.
You're welcome.
All right.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, whenever we do a show and we talk about these things, part of it is, what's the answer? You know, how should it be? What should happen? And what should happen here is that the government and the agencies should make sure that we're protected just like everybody else is when going into a hospital and a nursing home.
That's right.
You know, if they're going to put you in a nursing home, the least they could do is make sure that you're fully protected like everybody else, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're disabled and you can't move, that's why you need your aid. There isn't one agency that I know of that's advocating or fighting or setting up a lobby that the aid must be with the disabled person. It's part of you.
Mm-hmm.
We're the only ones
that
are putting that out there on an international basis. I don't know of any other group that's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, agencies that they get money from the state and the federal government. How are they going to criticize the government? They'll take their money away. I mean, the whole thing is set up in such a way that it's horrendous.
Yeah,
you know,
it's true.
It really is. That we can't even be equal in illness when we're disabled. Think about that.
Look what's happening to my aunt in Florida.
Yeah. Well,
you know,
and thousands of others.
Yeah.
Sure. You know, they want to, especially if they find out you have some assets.
And she does.
You know?
They want to exhaust her assets. They have to, right, before we do anything. Before
All they want to do is set her up with agencies that will that can eventually recommend that she be in a nursing home.
Well, the good thing is, this little thing, somebody at the hospital recommended that we contact a nonprofit, okay? And we got some help. So I'm hoping, it's a private agency, hoping they're a little better.
Well, I don't know. Do they get money from the state?
No. So we'll see.
Well, I hope not. But if they do,
then I'm in trouble.
No, they're obligated to report certain things.
Yeah,
you
they
should
are.
Double check that.
Yeah, I have the name of the agency, so I'm going to double check it tonight when I have a little less
Where do they get their money from?
They get it from, I think, I got to find out. I don't know.
You got to find out about that. Because
more of that, yeah.
If they're in with the state.
No, they're not. You know, I know that for a fact because it was, she was talking about private duty stuff, and she was talking about also a lot of the stuff, everything was privately, all the private stuff.
Yeah, the main thing right now is to keep her safe in her own home.
Yeah, I agree.
That's the main thing right now.
We got her safe and in her home right now, but do you know how long that took to on the phone today to get them?
Wait a minute, she's in the hospital now.
Yeah, today.
No, she's not in her home yet.
I had to sit down and literally speak with these people on the phone and tell them, listen, hear her. She does not want to. I actually had them listen to my aunt, and she did not want to be put in a nursing home. And I said to them, listen what she's saying to you. I finally got so pissed off, I actually had her leave a message for the case management person. It really got me aggravated, Frank. Why do I have to do that? You know?
Well, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
They make it harder on the disabled person.
Definitely.
You know? You're going there for help. You're ill.
Yeah.
Know? And now they come along and they make it harder with the threat of being put into an institution.
Yeah. And the nurse said after they mentioned that to her, she would not stop. She kept pressing the button. I want to speak to my niece. I don't want to be in
the
nursing home.
The agencies and the government should protect people like that. And I don't mean protect them by putting them into damn-ass nursing homes.
Yep.
I mean protect them with their own home.
Yep.
And we don't have that. The money should be there to pay for her AIDS.
That's right.
It should be in an account for her, in her
That's
name.
That's right.
You shouldn't have to pay the AIDS yourself.
Yeah.
That money should be there. It's owed to her. It's owed to every disabled person.
I agree with you.
And it's
totally
not there. And that's why we're not even equal when we're ill and disabled. That should have been the title of the show tonight.
I could change it. No, we could still change it.
But that's why these things happen. Because the agency and the government is not insisting that we are equal. And when you're ill, it's 1,000 times worse when you're disabled. Because now you got the equality thing, the accessibility thing, being thrown in on top of everything else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's horrible. People shouldn't be treated like that.
No.
We should at least have the basic things we need.
That's right.
Like everyone else.
I'm going to say we are not equal when ill and disabled. How's that?
Yeah, we're not. We're not.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's bad enough when we're not ill. When we are ill, look how much worse it gets. You know? Because now, and in the case of your aunt, now she has to try to understand what's going on.
Right, she wasn't.
On top of everything else, you know? Whereas if the money was there and the resources were there, it would be a simple thing. You're going home and you're going to have all the help you need.
That's right. They were combating me. She needs physical therapy in a subacute facility. And I said, I don't play this game. And we don't play games. I said, oh, I know you don't. But guess what? This game is a game. I don't care what you say. And I started off with her. I did. She didn't like when I did that. That's when she called this woman to help me out with her. She goes, I said, do you understand I lost my mother, her sister, at the beginning of this year? I'm not intending to lose my second mom. That's what I said to her. Yeah?
Yeah, well,
and I will fight you
that.
Tooth and nail about this, and I will come down there and stay with her if I have to. She didn't like that. And she can't prevent me either because I want her they call it patient advocate there. They don't
the main
call
thing
it,
is you got to get her out of there.
Yeah, I know.
So
yep.
Get her into her own home and
yeah.
Try to get
some... We have
some,
Louie waiting, by the way.
Protection.
Yep.
All right, in a site, 213-816-1650. Tomorrow, Pidge is off, so I don't know.
Yep.
We'll have to
think of something.
Dream up a show.
You know what I'd like to do?
Tomorrow.
We don't do anything about Alzheimer's. Maybe we should. You know? What you think a good treatment for Alzheimer's is.
Oh, we we did a show on that a while back.
Yeah, we did, but this has gotten too ridiculous, the stuff that they do and what they force on people. And
I mean,
you know?
the solution is simple, but go and bring it about without money.
Yeah, I know. You know what you said that made me think of something? Remember you said at the beginning of this pandemic, if I could get a necklace with the bottle and people could, you know, use the essential oils? I found something like that, but with other essential oils. Maybe we could do that. You know?
What do you mean? I don't understand what you're saying.
Remember you said that in the beginning of the pandemic, people should have certain essential oils and wear like a necklace around their neck? Remember you said that?
No, I don't know. I don't think I ever said that.
Yeah, you
I said the I said the oils are good.
Yeah,
didn't say
it is
about
the oil.
A necklace.
Oil. Well, you said something like a necklace, like a bottle that you could wear around your neck and use
it
quickly.
I don't know if that's a good idea, but the oil
is not a big bottle.
Good.
Yeah, it is a great idea, but I would like
there's
to
a lot
mix
of good
a few
oils that can help
yeah,
people.
Yeah, exactly. That could mix together.
But you know, that's only part of it, though.
I know.
There's a lot more to it.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's
so,
good help.
Friday at the Funnies.
Yeah.
Let's see. Television. Tonight at 11, 1997. Channel 3 on the Spirit. Manhattan Neighborhood Network tonight, 1997. Hmm. And Thursday, tomorrow night, Altice.
Yeah.
7:30, Channel 20, tomorrow night. Still on the reruns, but we're still on the air.
Yeah.
All right, in
cool.
a sight, and talking tonight about how we're not, disabled people are not equal, especially when you become ill and you have to go into a hospital or you wind up in a nursing home.
That's true.
You know, and the next thing happening is that the nursing home wants to take away your assets. Now, if you could afford it, you would get a lawyer.
That's true.
You know, if you're over a certain age, you might be able to get a lawyer, but there's no real thing that the lawyer can do.
Yeah.
It's a very, because it's, you know, they're dealing with the state, you know. What needs to happen is that the Americans with Disability Act should be amended here to protect people, you know, that if people want to declare hardship and say, look, I need my money to go home. I'm going home.
Mm-hmm.
I can't give you all my money.
That's right.
I'm declaring hardship. And then the facility would have to take you to court. If it was in the ADA, then you could get a lawyer.
That's right.
That's what we need. to protect people. And there isn't one agency that I know of that's lobbying to bring that about.
That's true.
They can't because they're in with the state. They're only allowed to present the programs that the state outlines.
Wants.
That's
yeah.
all they're allowed to do. And as the guy said from one of the independent living centers, before they fired him, most people die before we can get to them.
It's true, though. I gotta say,
sure.
It's very true.
So there you have reasons why we're not equal in illness.
Yeah.
And that's
not.
When it becomes even worse.
It's sad. It really is.
You know, you're disabled and then you become ill or you get into an accident. And now you don't have accessibility and they want to send you to a rehab nursing home and, you know, the whole thing unfolds.
Yeah.
And you're in trouble.
Yeah, you are.
With your life. Who wants to be in one of those places?
Nobody. Not me.
I only met one person in my whole life who wanted to be, who didn't want to get out.
Yeah.
So.
Well, two, really.
Always an exception.
There was one other one that you tried to get out, right? Remember? Recently. Is that the one you're talking about?
No. Talking about somebody
oh,
else.
Okay.
Long time ago.
Oh, okay.
But most people don't want to be in a nursing home.
Mm-hmm. I don't. Catch me dead in there. Sorry.
No, the person that you're referring to, Marlene, she wanted to get out. They didn't take her.
That's right.
We set her up with the program and her, that stupid thing, the
money
follows the person. Well, where the hell did the money go? It didn't follow her.
No, it didn't. Yep.
Why doesn't it follow her into the nursing home and help her get out?
How about my mom? She was on that program. She was on, on the open doors. She was on everything. Yeah.
Well, you told
me
that
she was on
the
nursing home transition, all of it.
You told me, wait a minute, there's a contradiction here. You told me that Silo said she's not eligible.
She wasn't eligible for initially. Then when I went back to get her out, they said that she was eligible. They refused her at first. Then when she was in the nursing home and solidly in the nursing home, they said she was eligible. They contradicted
themselves.
So
they wouldn't help her when she was in her own home.
Right.
Yeah, she was eligible when she was in the nursing home, but
didn't
do her much good.
Yeah, she died before she was able, like we said, she died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Inner Sight. And if we had the funds, if we had the means, a lobby would go up immediately to amend the ADA and to make it a federal law that the person must be protected by being given accessibility.
Yeah.
And also that the person is allowed to declare hardship. See, this is what you need to get rid of these nursing homes.
That's right. You know, you need a lot.
You need to have strong laws.
Yes, you do.
All right, Inner Sight, and anyone out there who has a relative in a nursing home.
Well, Louis's on the line. I don't know if you want to talk to him at the moment, but he is.
Who would like to call in, we'd love to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it is?
It's Wednesday.
Night. Okay. Louis Rivera, all right, on Inner Sight.
Yeah. All right, here he
about,
comes.
The follies.
Yeah, he does. Here he comes. Hey, Lou.
Hi there. This is Louis Rivera.
Hey.
Yeah, how you doing?
Yeah, how's it going?
Could be better.
Good,
my aunt
good.
Is in the hospital, but otherwise okay.
Yeah, okay. Hey, Frank, I got a death in my family last week. I went to the funeral in New Jersey. Name is Connie Bermudez. That's the wife of my uncle's. She passed away from brain a stroke from the brain.
I'm sorry.
How old was she?
88 years old.
Oh, wow. But still,
yeah,
people live a lot longer than that. That's a good age, but still, you know.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, Lou.
Yeah, apologize for that, but I just wear a suit and tie.
Yeah,
my family, the whole family was there. My cousins, family and friends were over there.
Yeah. When's the sergeant's birthday? Tomorrow the birthday?
Friday.
Oh, Friday. Well, how old is he going to be?
90? 90th birthday.
Does he know?
I told him that.
You told him?
Did
you break the surprise, or was it not a surprise?
It's a surprise. I mean, 90th birthday of my daddy, Louis Vera Sr.
But he knows about it, though, now?
Yes, he does.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
All right, get him a big Spanish cigar, you know.
He'll like that,
Yeah, I hope I get the right cigar for the right price.
Does he like cigars?
Not anymore. He don't smoke.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Once in a while, though,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
yeah,
and
so be quick,
Frank,
get him a cigar.
Yeah. I just got home last night about 7 o'clock. My sister and my brother was driving.
Oh, okay.
My father... I don't know. It's a funeral in somewhere in Toms River, New Jersey.
Oh, Toms River. I have family there. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we went after the cemetery. We had to go get a bite to eat.
Yeah.
I had cold beer too.
Hey, what are we gonna do? What are we gonna do Friday night, Lou?
What?
Yeah, tell us.
Hello, my name is Jerry Lewis. Be sure you turn in on a Friday night from 8 to 9 on a Friday night. I'm on Blog Talk Radio. Presents Inner Sight, presents The Follies. We're going to have a good time, have a few jokes with Frank Perillo's Honeymooners, Rosanna Dana, Jerry Lewis, Friendly Philosopher, and the Honeymooners, and Lauren Hardy, and maybe Jack Rennie playing a little violin on his violin thing.
Okay, I'll make sure I get Jack Benny.
Yeah, that's
all
right.
Right.
Friday night at on Rock Talk Radio on the Follix. The Follix, we have a good time. My name is Jerry Lewis.
Yeah.
I'll get the swab and I'll have a good time.
You
all
like
right.
that swab.
Louie's going to sing the Love Drop song.
What's the Love Drop song, by the way?
I'll do a lyrics of Jerry Lewis. I'm going to say, Bass on me, Bass on me, Mucho. Blow me a kiss in my music divine.
There you go.
Wendy, kissy, kissy, and bless me mucho.
I will be with you tomorrow
love
night.
Love me forever,
to
save
you,
and always rewind.
That's cute.
All right.
Yeah.
Inner Sight
right,
means freedom. Advocates for the disabled. 631-234.
And thank you
right,
for my sympathy, guys.
On
my aunt that passed away.
Is our phone number. And we're sorry to hear about your.
Yeah, that's my
relative.
From my father's sister.
Oh.
Your father's sister. Oh.
Okay. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
No problem. Anytime.
All right.
I love you guys.
We love you. You take care. All right?
Bye-bye.
Goodbye, world. Good night, everybody. Inner sight. Thank you very much. Inner sight.
Good night, everyone.